Ooh, welcome, everyone. This is Tennyson Wolfe speaking, and you have joined into the Human to Human podcast, which is something that I created out of some wondering thoughts a few years back, mostly because I wanted to be able to talk with some of my friends. I was appreciating my friends and appreciating my colleagues. And we live in this age where you can do such things, record and share. And sometimes there's an interesting story or an interesting conversation or some wisdom to share. I love doing this with friends, and I'm staring on the screen with my friend Janice Stieber Rouse. Wait a minute, I got that wrong. Janice, say it again for me.
Rouse like house.
My mind plays tricks with the spelling. And Janice is going to say some things in a minute, but I want to say up front that this is a person we've known each other for, I think, close to 20 years. There's lots of things in the relationship that makes this one dear and special. And when we come into this format of human to human, you know that we're going to be in some conversation, to just be in some learning together, some intimate wonder together, some start anywhere and follow it everywhere kind of stuff. And Janice is one of my favorite people to be able to do this with. So Janice, hello.
Hello, Tennyson. It's so wonderful to be here.
And I would love to welcome a few of your words of hello and where you are and how you're doing and all of that.
I live currently in Maitland, Florida, which is a suburb of Orlando. Mm. I'm talking to you from my kitchen nook. So I'm looking at some beautiful big oaks. And at any moment, a cardinal or a hawk might come by to say hello. Some beautiful butterflies are visiting. Mm. I've spent my entire life in New York City. Mm. And about 18 years ago, I decided it was time for a change. And I jumped off a high dive and thought I couldn't last here for more than a week. And here I am 18 years later. And every time I have to go back to New York, I have to like work with my nervous system to agree to be back in the chaos and the noise. So I feel very, very grateful that when I jumped off the high dive, there was some nice water to swim in. Mm-hmm. And part of why I'm here is I like being near the water. So I live on a lake.
Yeah.
And I have a little condo on a river that's across the street from the ocean. So my theme really is water.
Mm. Awesome. Are you ready to roll a bit here? Are you still thinking?
I was thinking that I've been using the imagery of surfing lately.
Okay.
To just know what it's like to be so present and so aware, not vigilant, but in balance, that you know when the next wave is and that you want to take it. Mm-hmm. But just today, I had a totally different image.
That's here.
That maybe it's not so much about surfing. Mm-hmm. Maybe what I need in this stage of my life, because I'm 73, mm-hmm. is to know more about how to get quiet enough to listen to what is being invited into, as opposed to waiting for the next wave. It's a different orientation.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the ocean, you know, the waves are out there. Mm-hmm. But my image is more like I'm quiet and I'm learning about something around the dialogue of being in my quiet self, talking to the self of plans, the self of desire, the self of exhaustion or energy or nourishment. And it's a different conversation than I used to have. I think my conversation was more with what do people need from me?
Yeah. Well, Janice, this is juicy. And this is a continuation of a conversation that you and I have been having in some way for 17 years or whatever it's been now. I think that we've had a lot of spaces where we've talked about relationship to quiet, relationship to busyness, relationship to awareness, some of those things. And sometimes we've just been a couple of pals doing that. And sometimes you've been a guide for me in that. And sometimes maybe I've offered a couple little things too. You got bells and whistles going there.
I have to turn off my notifications, but I don't know where I'm being notified from.
There you go. Hey, that's a theme for many of us. Where is this notification coming from? Okay, but I want to go back to the notification of this stillness. So whether it be from the surfing imagery or just you learning to be quiet, what is happening, Janice, that you can share? What is happening in your life that gives rise to this impulse or this instinct for a quiet or a stillness or an inner?
Well, I committed to doing a more serious meditation practice, a more serious mindfulness practice.
Yeah.
And I also listened to some transmissions from a guided, I don't know, voice around living in the unknown and accepting the mystery. And I think just today, I left where I was yesterday, which was anxiety. And today I'm in, and a lot of emotion and fear. And today I'm in, what would it look like if I just could listen enough to basically just say no when it doesn't feel right that other people are asking me to do such and such, and I'm then going to be reactive. What if I didn't do that? What if I just said, you know, I like that idea, but it's not a good idea for today. Or I like that idea, you know, I can get excited about meeting you for dinner, but actually my body is too tired. Or, you know, it'd be really, really wonderful to meet together three college friends from 50 years ago. But actually, I really can't do that this trip. You know, like, I just had this very different shift this morning that anyone who's anyone in my life will understand if I said, well, if I really listen deeply to myself and to my body, I have to honor that I'm tired, that I'm post-COVID, that I'm 73, and I'm not going to make the dinner I said I was going to make for eight people. I'm going to get ready-made food. And not be so concerned about what other people will think and if they'll be disappointed. And that's pretty new for me. Mm-hmm. That might be old school for a lot of people, but that's really radical new school for me.
Okay. Well, I'm going to follow that one a little bit, okay? Because you, one of your identification points is body dialogue. And one of the stories that I carry with you or that I know about you in our years of friendship is that you do pay attention more uniquely to your body. And maybe your body knowing and body intelligence or body wisdom, or, you know, those are some of the things that I would put in that. So maybe you're in another chapter of this, but that feels like a theme across your life. Yeah?
Totally. So I think what's different about body dialogue today, 2023, versus body dialogue maybe 2022, is that it used to be enough to just take some time out, breathe, and charge up again. You know, like use it to recharge. But now I'm thinking, actually, since I'm working on this project called Navigating the Aging Body, maybe I'm navigating a whole new conversation with my body. Like, it takes too much out of me to run around the city. If I want to see people, they have to come to me. or I'm not really able to do four things in a day. I can only do one thing in a day. And a lot of that is about, you know, what other people want and what I think is mine to do. And in the old days of body dialogue, I would listen. I would listen and I would know and I would share and I would talk and I would, but it was more like, if I roll around on the mat, I'll have the energy, or, you know, if I can figure out what's a good cocktail to go to sleep. But that's a different story than, no, I'm actually making very different choices today about what I want to fill my time with whom I want to spend it. What is the kind of things that bring nourishment versus depletion? Those are, maybe it sounds very similar, but it's kind of subtly different. It's coming from much more of, I am really in charge of my life, and my body will inform me what I can and cannot do. And I'm going to risk really being honest and true to that, even when it goes against a lot of things that might even be pleasurable.
Risk being honest and true to that. Will you like follow that one a little bit? Oof.
Well, as a people pleaser and as an extrovert, it's a risk for me to say to people, you know, I love you dearly, but I'm so sorry, I can't give you a session.
Yeah.
Or my daughter's having a child and she's really prepared for me to be her second in command. Oof. And I've been noticing I'm a little worried about what she expects of me.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden yesterday, I thought, it's not what she expects of me, it's what I expect of me, and not wanting to let her down.
Yeah.
And that's a very big difference than I've been like, I've had to be in this place with my son. My son lives in Israel.
Right.
He really, really wants me to live there. I established about 10 years ago, no can do.
Yeah.
That's just simply not going to work for me. It brings me sadness, particularly at this time of year where it's the Jewish holidays, right, to not be with my children, my son. Very painful. But what can you do?
Yeah.
I'm not getting on a plane.
Yeah. Or there's limits to all of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm getting on a plane to go see my daughter. And even that right now, I'm kind of like hovering.
Yeah. So Janice, do you feel, I think you're saying this, but let's play with it. Do you feel like you're commitment, or maybe it's a deeper commitment to this interior of you? That's one of the ways I hear the conversation. Yeah. Or the honesty and integrity with self. Is that something that's growing, oh, shit, with age?
For me, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I what I'm noticing with all my friends when I tell them I'm doing this project called Navigating the Aging Body.
Yeah.
One friend of mine said, "You mean I'm not allowed to complain anymore?" And I said, you can complain all you want if it feeds you. I want to do stuff that nourishes me.
Right.
You know, like, I only have a half a tank of gas. Do I want to spend it on that?
Right.
Another friend of mine said, when I said to her, you know, I feel like this time of life is about agreeing to agree with it.
Ooh, okay, go further with that one. What does that mean for you?
Like, instead of agreeing that I'm going to try to listen, or agreeing to not be resistant. I think it's actually, if I can agree that I'm going to agree with what shows up, like really say yes to it. I'm tired. Yes. My hormones are kind of wacky right now. Yes. Okay. That might require A, B, C, D, E, when in the past, those right, were not up for conversation.
Right.
And I kind of think I sometimes, with both of my children lately, are playing kind of the age card, because I can't really say to them, since they're in their 30s and they're in their 40s, I can't really say to them, look, I'm not the mother you used to be. I say that to them, but that means nothing to them.
Right.
Because I was the get up and go, you want to go to the beach, get in the car.
Yeah.
You know, my grandson said to me, I want you to take us on this hike softer. And we have to take a bus and then we have to walk and then we have to hitch. And then we, and I said, because it's my favorite person in the world, I said, sure, I can do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sorry I did it. It was one of the best days of my life. But honestly, I couldn't, if I knew what I was doing, I could not do it again. I couldn't say yes to it.
Yeah.
And when I said to him afterwards, I said, Zevi, what made you think I could do that? He said, well, did you do it? I said, yeah, I did. And I'm not sorry I did, but it easily took me some time to recover, and that's okay. But I can't do that like every week.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I can do that on a special occasion. And I think what the aging piece here is, I mean, 73 is not old in the world I'm living in. Most of my friends are 76, 78, 80, 82. Like, I have a lot of friends in their early 80s.
Sure.
And they're even more slow than me. And I used to be impatient. And now I'm going, oh, they're giving me a gift.
Yeah.
Joanna Macy said that her 70s were some of her best years. Mm. And I think the reason for that is that you do have some self-knowledge at 70 mm-hmm. that you don't have at 50 mm-hmm. with all due respect, even if you think you do.
Yeah.
Which is the reason why I'm doing this book, because I don't want a 30-year-old to tell me lifting weight is good for your bone density.
Yeah.
Like, I know what lifting weight is good for, and I think it is good for your bone density, but I don't want a little 30-year-old getting on the YouTube and saying, come on, grandma. Like, no. That's not for me.
What is the book that you're writing, and how do you context it into what we're talking about here?
Well, it's called Navigating the Aging Body, and it's an ebook, and it's on my website.
Yeah.
And my website is all about body dialogue practices.
Yeah.
And it's totally open source. It's all free.
Yeah.
But this book is going to be more like a membership. You sign up for it, you'll get 6 installments.
Yeah.
And I'm encouraging people to bring a buddy to do it with, because it's an interactive, self-reflective process.
Yeah.
And I think you get much more from that kind of thing when you do it with someone else.
True.
And also you get much more from it when you have someone who you're accountable to. Mm. So you make a date on Tuesday, we're going to do that thing that we agreed to, and we're going to look at this video, and we're going to practice this idea of breathing. And because I'm trained in Alexander technique and breathing coordination and yoga and qigong and meditation and Jungian psychology, I have a lot in my tool bag. Oh. And I'm offering, you know, kind of a I wouldn't call it a festschrift, you know, it's not like looking back at my life. Mm-hmm. It's more like, here I am. I've always been involved with these questions, because I was a dancer. Mm-hmm. I had an injury that was very severe when I was 19. So I've had to pay attention my whole life, because I couldn't do a lot of the things I loved doing as a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Once I herniated 3 cervical vertebra.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a disability in that I couldn't do what I love doing. I just had to be much more mindful.
Yeah.
So being mindful around the body is not something that's new to me. What is new is having the wisdom and the awareness that I have to be very deliberate about the choices I make.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be deliberate about what I do with my time and how, like, I don't allow negativity mm-hmm. around me. Like, I used to be like, companionship is fun. But now I'm like, she spends way too much time complaining. I don't mm-hmm. think so.
Mm-hmm.
Or even on Saturday, we had a wonderful luncheon, very, very joyous, fun. And my 83-year-old partner was with me, and I said, how was that for you? And he said, I don't know. And today I think about what that experience was for him, and I understand. He really likes intimate one-on-one stuff, and this was not that kind of thing. And if he has only so many hours a day and so much energy, he's not going to choose that, right? And I don't think you have quite that sense when you're in your 40s and your 50s that it's not about scarcity. It's about discernment. It's not that I don't have time left. It's about discerning what I have time for.
That's beautiful.
What I have money for. What I have energy for. And Jung said discernment is the sign of maturity. And I think that's true. When I look at people, there are people in my life who just won't give up doing. And it doesn't matter what the cost. And I just am not that person.
Janice, what do you recommend to people? And there are many story headlines to put on this. So you might have a few that you've already named. But if I think about something about being a conscious human being or a more awake human being, and I'm careful with those terms, though, too, Janice, because those can get overplayed a lot. But there are, and I suppose I'm relating to it from the phase of my life as a 60-year-old, where there's some things that my body doesn't do like it did 20 years ago or 40 years ago. And I'm not trying to reverse time to 20 or 40 years ago. But there's some practices or some, you know, bits. Like I've come to you in relation to a body where the legs aren't talking to the back anymore. And you helped me through a pretty rough spot there. But are there some, like, you know, simple guidances that you offer for people with their physical body and also with their emotional body or their emotional being?
So you packed into that about six different topics.
Awesome.
For instance, if you go to a back doctor, he's not going to say your back isn't talking to your legs.
Right. That was a Janice thing.
Yeah. And the reason why I say that is because I know from having my own lower back issues, when I'm very ungrounded and I'm like way up in the stratosphere, it impacts my lower back.
Yeah.
Or, for instance, I'm carrying around a lot of anger. Like this week, I couldn't believe the anger that was coming out every time I had a conversation with someone. Now, I'm not leading from the anger. The anger came out in conversation, and then I had to say, oh, that explains why I've been having these symptoms. So I don't like the term awake and conscious because I think they've been so overused in our Instagram culture that I'm totally turned off to them.
Right.
However, there is a kind of attention that is different than being in a trance. And this culture wants to keep you entranced. It's part of the mass capitalism, end state capitalism. Keep you entranced, buy another course. I mean, the internet, you know, God help us, I'm one of them, but you can have 75 courses on how to be a more conscious human being.
Right.
And really, does it translate into your life? When I used to teach yoga, I'd say, okay, it's really nice seeing you all today, but are you going to take this practice off the mat? This is the time of year in the Jewish community, in the Jewish holidays, the Jewish cycle of year, where we're looking at our relationship to the divine, and do we want to return to a more expanded sense of our divinity, or do we want to just do the same old, same old? And frankly, I don't see very many people really taking that as a seriously call to action. And I take it very seriously. There's a beautiful book by a rabbi who was also a Zen monk called This Is Real and We Are Totally Unprepared. And that's how that to me is the answer to your question. The answer to your inquiry is aging is real. And most people are not prepared. And the preparation for it is starting to pay attention. I even gave my college students a little mnemonic the other day. They asked for a mnemonic, and I went, I can't give you a mnemonic, but I did. And it was S-E-G, like segue, but just seg.
Yeah.
Stop. Exhale. Ground. Simple. Why? We have to stop whatever the habit is. Whatever the habit is. We have to let ourselves exhale. The inhale will come. And then we have to put ourselves in the present moment by grounding into our feet. And then ask the question, is it right action for me to run to the gym right now and lift weights? Or is it right action for me to go to the soup kitchen and serve some elderly people that need food? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that with a value judgment. I'm just saying for me, sometimes doing something like caring for someone else is a better muscle for me than working out my bones.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of impatient, I'm sorry to say, when people say, oh, yeah, I really want to be conscious about blah, blah, blah. And there's no self-reflection. Mm-hmm. But a friend of mine told me, and I think she's right, that it takes emotional courage to really be honest with oneself. Mm-hmm. And that has been really fruitful for me to look at. Mm-hmm. Where am I emotionally a coward? Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to tell you that this conversation is helping me in this Jewish New Year preparation. Because when I ask myself, this is real and I'm totally unprepared, that's how I feel about aging. This is real. I have a lot of tools in my tool chest. I have a lot of practices. But I still can't sort of go asleep on the job. Or maybe say that better. I need to really understand what has urgency and what is not so urgent, and not from the place of desperation and breathlessness, but from the place of my house is a mess and I cannot leave for a trip on Thursday with this kind of mess. I have to clean up tonight. Forget it.
Because Janice, is there like something in your body or your belly or your kneecap or whatever it is that seems to know that, or it's wants the to have a system. Bit of voice in that.
It's the nervous system. I think that because I've been practicing Alexander technique since 1969.
Yeah. You know,
I never knew this before, but I think it's a nervous system practice.
Yeah.
And I think I'm beginning to understand that hormones and cortisol and stress is all about how do we listen to what's too much in us.
Gosh.
So for me, like, too much for me is if there's too much chaos in my house, it's too much.
Yeah.
It disturbs my nervous system. Mm-hmm. My partner doesn't have any of this language, and if he listened to this, he'd probably be bored. But he knows this intuitively. Mm-hmm. It's probably what attracted me to him. Mm-hmm. He can say to me, like, at 5 to 5, I think I need to be on my own tonight. I go, okay, bye. Like, no, nothing personal.
Yeah.
And I love that. So I actually think it's checking into the nervous system. So it could be that the vagus, the whole polyvagal theory, can inform people about that. But I fear that what people are using all these tools for is to do the same old, just sort of give it a different name. It's really different to say to yourself, breathing in, I can feel I'm a little overwhelmed. Breathing out, I understand that creating some order is going to help my nervous system feel a little bit more safe. And it could be even the inner child work, you know, like my inner child is like asking for a little bit more holding.
Yeah.
I don't usually use that language.
Yeah.
But it feels kind of right to me in this moment.
Yeah.
I had a mother who used to work a whole day, run home from her store, change her clothes, put on her lipstick, get in the car, drive to the train station, take the train into Manhattan, meet my father, go out to dinner, come home, and do the same thing the next day.
Yeah.
And that was how it was. And if you didn't do that, you were lazy.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's a radical decision to listen and not be driven by that other voice of, but he wants me to go with him to dinner, or
right.
He wants me to take him to a party, or she needs me to, you know, all my friends were driven by their grandchildren. Well, my granddaughter wants this and my granddaughter wants that.
Right.
Well, okay.
So Janice, like somewhere in your life, you became one who could see, hey, that's not a really super healthy pattern. Or maybe there was a crack in your living that opened up some of that. Yeah.
Totally. I've been in this inquiry, literally in this inquiry, since I hurt my neck. I was 19. I had a lot of stiffness in my neck and in my upper back. So I overdid shoulder stands and I overdid plow. And I basically destroyed my cervical vertebra, the first four vertebrae of the neck. And when you look at my neck, most people say, how come you're not in a pain management clinic?
Right.
That happened, how many years ago? 50 years ago or something. This has been my inquiry all this time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I didn't wake up. You know, I love this line. Ram Dass said this once. I love this. When Ram Dass had his stroke, he said, I'm really glad I learned to meditate before this crisis. You can't learn some of these practices when you're already facing dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of been my motivation, honestly, is I'm sorry to say this, but you know, I would rather not do that to my children.
Yeah.
I did have a moment yesterday with my daughter and I was feeling all this demand. And then I got off the phone and let it sit. And, you know, 24 hours later, I'm like, oh, she's not demanding this of me. I'm demanding this of me.
Right.
But that took a lot of time to sort through. And you can't do that while you're binge watching something on Netflix. I mean, I'm not saying
I prefer to distract with something else. Like, oh, maybe if I watch this show, then I won't think about it for a while.
Right. And I mean, I've had my binge days. Don't get me wrong.
Of course. Right.
My binge thing. But what the question you're asking and what really gives me joy, and that really is the language you helped me to understand, is what does it mean to host myself instead of always thinking about hosting everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I am my best friend, how do I treat this moment? You know, and if my body is my best friend, do I really want to eat all that junk food right now? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't get past that idea that, you know, there was a time where fried clams really tasted good and they don't taste good anymore.
There you go.
And that is really aging. Your digestion changes as you age, really does. And everybody complains about it, but, you know, it's not that bad. Like, you learn something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think aging can be a time of wisdom. And I'm trying to say in this project that if you recognize this as a learning journey, and not a death sentence. You know, aging as a learning journey is really different than you better make sure you have all your doctors lined up so that, and that doesn't mean you don't need doctors.
Right.
I mean, I saw a doctor today. Thank God she was available.
Hmm.
And my nervous system has quieted because she gave me an answer to what happened. A friend of mine, I saw one of my friends at the doctor's office and I said, how are you? She said, I'm happy to say I have an infection. And I understood what she meant. She's like so tired. She's dragging her ass. Oh, the doctor had an explanation. She has an infection.
Mm.
Right? Especially in our culture. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm dragging my ass. What does that mean? I won't be able to bop. But I think really the operative question that you were asking before about talking legs to back is we have to talk to all parts of ourselves. We have to talk to the emotional part.
Yeah.
That's on the roller coaster. We have to talk to our nervous system and attune. We need, I don't know if we, but I need enough time in nature because that's where my spiritual nourishment comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I need enough quiet because the noise really drains me. When I had COVID, I recovered in my apartment and my partner recovered in his apartment because he likes to watch TV and I don't. And I respected that. You know, he watched Wimbledon for 5 days or something. And I don't even like the light of a television, no less the noise. And I'm not saying that with any judgment. I just was glad he wasn't in my house.
So that you could be in the kind of healing space or rest space or whatever that you that your body knows that you need.
Right.
And if he needs more, then good for him.
Right. And I think that's really the discernment that doing something like, what does it mean to age with some wisdom? What does it mean to learn something about myself as I go through the process?
Yeah.
Can I learn something that's not what the medical establishment wants me to know, or Madison Avenue, or another gimmick that another menopausal doctor is going to give you? Like, you know, really honestly, we know nothing about menopause. But if there are enough women who are paying attention right now, we're going to have some information for our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when I was a teenager, I was anorexic. There wasn't even a word for it when I was a teenager.
Right.
And I'm sure I was not motivated differently than a lot of kids today, but it's worse today because there's all the social media that affirms it and validates it. And I didn't have any validation except I was a Martha Graham dancer and everybody there was emaciated. And that's what she, you know, she extolled the virtues of not having any flesh on your body.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about it now, they should have called child services in. I mean, really, it's abuse. But you saw that at the Graham School, you saw it at the New York City Ballet, you saw that at American Ballet Theater, you saw, you know, like, that was the given.
Janice, you're with a few young people, yes? And if so, what are you saying to young people in regard to all of this these days?
Just asking me that question makes me tear up. Because some people are really open and want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And some you just know they're going to be like I was, you know. They're not going to be able to learn from their elders. They're going to have to go through it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I just talked about this yesterday. My daughter's having a baby and I said, I wish she understood what she's about walking into. And then I thought, well, it's a good thing she doesn't because she'd never do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love working with young people today because they're much, much more open than most of my contemporaries. And when I sit in my, I'm in a meditation group that's on the internet, and there are 120 people in this group, and probably we're half and half, like old timers and kids, you know, young people. And the questions that are interesting are the young people, because they're really fresh in it. But I admire all of us old timers learning new tricks. You know, Tennyson, it's the greatest question for me that I haven't really answered very well. About what well-being looks like, no matter what age you are. My grandchildren are being raised in a way that's very different than the way I was raised. And they're going to be really, really, really well-prepared spiritually for the world they're moving into. I don't think they're being prepared for climate change or some of the choices they're going to have to make politically. So, you know, the question, I really think the answer of the question to the question of the answer is, how do you look out? And what do you see when you do? I don't even know what the answer to that is, but
I don't either, Janice. And, you know, I realize that one of the other questions that feeds into that is, and how do you begin to know when you've stopped looking out or not looking out much anymore? Because that is part of the addictive pattern that I have lived in also and committed myself to in some ways, right? Or defaulted into. But it's like, how does a human being continue to look out of any age? And what keeps things open that way? I know I have some things that I rely on, and I hope that, you know, some of the young people really close to me are able to participate in. But sometimes, no. Sometimes, gosh, they seem to need that. I mean, this is scary as a parent or as one who, you know, loves some young folks. Sometimes they need to go through a fall. Or do they? You know, that's a question. I think the answer is yes. But I find myself still resistant to say it, you know.
Yeah, if my mother had been alive when I moved to Florida.
Yeah.
I might not have been able to, because she would have said, oh, it's such a good idea that you're moving to Florida. And that might have been enough for me to say, can't go to Florida.
I'm not going to Florida.
But she was dead.
Yeah.
And the real Florida has been great for me.
Yeah.
And this is a really crazy statement, but because I don't believe anyone here gives a hoot what I do.
Yeah.
So I, in a way, have more anonymity than I had when I lived in New York. And a lot of people who live in small town Utah want to go to New York because they want to be anonymous. But for me, there was no anonymity in New York City.
Yeah.
And I also had a whole community of people I thought I had to live up to.
Mm.
I remember sitting in my high school graduation class and having this teacher. I went to a small private school, pretty elite. And I remember him saying, you are the leaders of the future, and you, the world rests on your shoulders. And I remember thinking to myself, holy shit, yeah. I can't do that. Please don't tell me to do that.
Yeah.
So I've always been kind of on the margin. And now that I'm on the margin for 50 years, younger people are saying, I like that margin. I think I want to join you over there.
Right.
So I get validation actually from young people saying, how did you know 40 years ago, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And part of it was, that was my form of rebellion.
Uh-huh.
You know, if the crowd was going in one direction, I always went in the opposite.
Right.
But I'm really kind of happy to say that I have two children who've made totally, totally different choices in terms of their lives and their lifestyle and who they want to do it with and how they want to do it. But they're still guided by the principle of love and compassion and giving to others and serving the world.
Mm.
And for that, I feel like, okay, that job, which was, for me was the most important job, raising my children. That was my highest priority. And everything was second to that. And when I divorced after 32 years, I had to say, if it's bad for my kids, I've given them all I can, and now it's up to them. Because I didn't want to leave the marriage, because I wanted the Ozzy and Harriet story to go on forever, but it just was killing me. For some people, they don't know who Ozzy and Harriet is, but anyway, it's, you know, it was the TV version of Happily Ever After.
Sure.
And I do think, by the way, I really, really, really believe this, that Disney is partially responsible for these ideas we've had in our head.
For sure.
This crazy domestication idea of what Happily Ever After looks like.
Sure.
And I think from that point of view, when you say our kids are going to have to find out, whether it's the church or whether it's Disney, those superimposed forms of domestication were not necessarily helpful to us.
Yeah.
So we did what we like doing, Tennyson. We love exploring what's exciting to us right now.
Well, Janice, well, maybe we're coming to a point to wrap up here also, and I'll give you some last voice. We'll pause the recording, and then you and I can go offline for a little proper goodbye, and then I come on and whisper a few more things about you. But one of the things that I just appreciate, Janice, is you have some kind of learning heart that I know a little bit because of our friendship and colleagueship over the years. And you're a fun person. You have a learning heart. You have a learning mind. You have a learning belly. And you have this way of like wondering out loud or connecting out loud. And there's a certain aliveness in all of that that I think I just appreciate in you. So I like it that we scheme here and there. And, you know, maybe there will be something around conscious aging that we scheme forward in a particular format, or, you know, aging well, so whatever that naming might be. But it's a treat to reconnect with you in this format, yes. But this is just a thing. Outside of this, we have, you know, decades now, actually, of meeting in some of that wonder. So all of that is a bit of a bow to you and to me and the S space that is here.
You know, I do want to say this one thing about young people.
Mm.
When I teach, I am so just totally me that I think I give kids permission.
Yeah.
I just taught a class for opera singers. And the teacher said, so when you're getting on stage, just try to Janicize yourself. And the kids all laughed. I saw some kid in the parking lot. And I said, don't lose touch with me. And he said, are you kidding? I'm going to think about the SEG, the Janner size.
Right.
But what I really think I gave them was permission.
Yeah.
To really have confidence that who they are is enough. And, you know, that's not 10 lessons to how to be worthy.
Right.
So I kind of feel like if there was a story to go away with, there's this wonderful story from the Jewish tradition from Rabbi Nachman that this old guy gets to the creator at the end of his life after he's died, and he meets the creator, and he says to the creator, I tried so hard to be Moses, to be holy, to be a leader, to be a prophet. And according to the story, God says, but all you had to do was be Rebbe Bruria. That's what his name was. You didn't have to be anyone else. I learned that story when I was about 12. And it must have had an impact on me. Because I really do think that's a courageous job. So that, you know, that's true whether you're an old person or a young person. But by the time you get to a certain age, you don't really care anymore what other people think. So it's liberating.
Janice, if people want to reach you, how do they do that?
I have a website.
Okay.
www.bodydialogues, spelled the British way, bodydialogues.com. Maybe they could be in the show notes.
There we go.
Body Dialogues. And there's an email sign up there. And if you sign up, you'll get my information.
Awesome. I'm going to pause the recording. Just a sec. Okay, back now after saying goodbye to Janice and doing an extra virtual hug. Janice is someone that I just really appreciate. We really have known each other. The time feels blurry to me, but it has been, oh gosh, you know, I think it's been 15, 16 years, something in that. And so she has been a person that I've appreciated. We've appreciated each other for some wisdom shared, some laughter shared, some just like outright firm kindness shared even. There's a lot in what Janice shared or that we spoke about today that I so appreciate. That last little section at the end around permission to recognize that who I am is enough, you know, as a grandparent speaking to grandchildren or younger people, and that orientation of, can I learn something here? That is one of the orientations that I attribute back to a couple of my grandparents in my life, Grandma Fern and Grandma Ross, my mom's mother and dad's mother, respectively. I feel like Janice brings some of that. She's got playful spirit that I appreciate, and she's got, unique configuration of how things go together, or, you know, curiosity and how things go together and then get maybe discombobulated and go together again. So all of that is just things that I get excited about and gush over. Janice and I have gone in some streaks of like regular contact and then nothing for a while and then regular contact. We're in a streak of having more regular contact, and I'm sure appreciating that. Thanks for listening today. This is the Human to Human podcast. There's much more information on my website, tennisonwolf.com. I always welcome people reaching out, either because they're curious or want to play with an idea or want to explore, like, what does this have to do with working with teams and groups and things like that? To me, it will forever remain invaluable to know that the human to human conversation and what arises out of that, both in feeling and in words and in wonder or images, those will always matter. And I know I just feel a deepened commitment to continue in those ways. Thanks for listening today.